And on the 17th of August, time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you might have. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's Automotive this past week? Busy as ever, I presume?
As you can imagine, very busy, and things are going good. You know, we're in a nice flow of summer business, and you know, people starting to ask and make appointments for the next, you know, kids going back to school and having the cars checked out before they do leave. And as you know, the fair time's coming up in a week or two here. So things are still rolling, but they'll be winding to a different direction pretty soon.
Yeah, the fair starts Thursday, Nick. Holy mackerel. Yeah, and we're going to be chatting to you from the fair, as we always do as well. Is there a busier time? I mean, forget winter and batteries, you know, sub-zero temps, not, you know, or AC going wrong. Is there an ebb and flow at Lloyd's Automotive as far as the seasons go? Is there a busier time than others outside of the obvious ones?
You know, it's funny. It's changed over the years. I would say now the summer months have been the busier part of the year, where you would think historically that late fall, early winter, when we would have all the initial problems. But cars are made so much better than they were. I think it's more people are consciously thinking about the longer road trips, the more miles that are driven in the summer months. So we see a lot more pre-road trip or cabin driving, that kind of stuff. So I think we have a lot more of that seasonal stuff, which is a bigger impact on the year.
I know we get questions, Nick, about it from time to time, but there's so many, well, there's so many electric cars out there now, but as far as hybrids, I would imagine you and your crew there see a lot of hybrids in for repair, right? Nothing necessarily wrong with them, but just maybe usual maintenance. But a lot of hybrids, I presume.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, my opinion, the biggest growing segment of what we see. And, you know, I personally really like the technology. I think you have the best of a lot of worlds with the addition of having the hybrid to give you a longer range. You're not using as much fuel necessarily, so it kind of gets both ends of the spectrum there. And we see them all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. There's not any big concern or worry. The longevity, I think, is equal to what we're accustomed to, so if it was my vote, that's what I would push you towards.
Sure. Well, let's open up the phone lines for our listeners. I know our time is limited here. If you have having problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, but you kind of want to know ahead of time what might be ailing, let Nick do a little diagnosis for you over the radio. Just call us or text us. Keep in mind, Nick will be with us for just about another half hour, so our time goes quickly. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have. Had a couple of them earlier this morning, interesting ones, not necessarily problems with cars, but actually with shops themselves. And I know you guys are very efficient and you want to help people as quickly as you can. You don't want to, you know, keep cars on your lot too long. How long is too long for your car to be in a mechanic's without being looked at? I know that doesn't happen at Lloyd's, but in some places, how would you answer that question?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because, you know, it really depends. I would hope that someone would get at least a peek or an opinion within the day or so. You know, we don't, as you'd mentioned, we try to run very efficiently, but we even have cars that are there longer than we'd like. And, you know, sometimes it might be personnel. You might have people on vacation, tools, equipment, parts availability. There's a lot of things that are sometimes out of your control that can affect the length or the too long of a time it's at the shop. But, you know, I would say if your car's been there for, in your opinion, an extended period of time and no one's looked at it, I would obviously call and say, hey, what's going on? You know, here's my needs, my concerns. Hear what they have to say. Maybe you have to try someplace else. But, you know, without having that conversation, I wouldn't know what to advise you.
I never have seen that happen at Lloyd's at all. Getting things done. So let's grab a phone call, Nick. Bob is checking in this morning from Duluth. Hi, Bob. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I sure love your program. It's more of curiosity. I'm wondering about the air intake for the defroster and heater in the winter when there's snow and ice. It looks like covering the grill that takes in the air. And I'm wondering, where does the air come from if that front grill, usually they're right underneath the windshield, but it seems like they fill full of ice and snow. So what happens?
Well, the intake is typically still that area. What you see is the baffle at the top there that's kind of protecting any debris from making it into that cowling area, but it's not sealed and perfectly tight. So even if there's a buildup of, you know, snow and ice as you described, there's still areas, even with the hood closed, there's areas under there that's allowing the air to make its way through. So, you know, you want to prevent or try to keep from too much ice and snow building up. One of the main reasons there is the wiper blades. You know, we will see that people use or try to keep from too much ice and snow building up. One of the main reasons there is the wiper blades. You know, we will see that people use their wipers to try to clear the windshield, and that's definitely not what they're designed for. You need to try to remove all of that so they have a free range of motion. When you try to use the wipers as the clearing mechanism, it can oftentimes break or damage that linkage there. So back to your question, though, that if there's snow and ice at the base of the windshield on the cowling, it's not sealed entirely, so the air will still make its way through to give the defrost and the heating for the vehicle.
Nick, thanks, Bob, for the call. Again, 651-461-9226. You can call in your question. You can text in, whichever is easier. Nick, I know we're going to break here quickly, but how often would you think is proper to change blades, to get put new blades on? I know if, you know, it's a vision thing, so it's important. But what would you say the average driver?
You know, I would say I'd like to every year, but you know, when I think about it, I'm not sure I do that. Yeah, but what's funny is when you call people and say, "Hey, we should replace your wiper blades," they'll say, "Oh no, it looks fine." And then you know, we joke about, you know, tell you what, I'll give you the passenger side one. You take it and you come back and pay double for the driver's side one, because you don't realize how they slowly deteriorate, and then once you put a new set of wipers on there, that's one of those aha moments, like, wow, why did I not do this the last time I was in? So keep in mind, if you're in for service, if it's been a long time since you've had your wipers replaced, you should do that. It makes a big difference when it's raining out, which we've had a lot of this year.
Absolutely. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have callers, we have texters, but I'm thinking for those folks that might need professional help from you guys at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question or need a little advice before you go in, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, maybe going for a walk or having lunch, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then always do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
It's a fun avenue. Lots of great places to enjoy lunch or coffee or whatever while you're waiting for your vehicle, if you have that opportunity. We'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, call us or text as soon as you can. 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phone calls, Bob is calling in this morning from Eden Prairie. Hi, Bob. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I have a BMW 2004 645 CI, one owner. I'm not aware that I have ever changed the transmission fluid in the vehicle. When driving it the other day, I only drive it periodically in the summer. The other day while driving it, the transmission wouldn't shift. It kind of locked in a gear. But the next time I drove it, I was able to drive it home. The next time I drove it, it worked fine. I'm wondering if the transmission fluid should be changed or what should I do?
On that vehicle, the first thing we would do is kind of access the computer system, go through the modules, see if there's any historical information stored for that glitch that happened. Some of those BMWs in that vintage had like a feel for life transmission. It'll say, actually, when you have the vehicle up in the air, it'll say, do not service. There's still ways to service it. So if it's got a lot of miles, it's got a lot of years, servicing the fluid's never a bad idea. But I wouldn't, in any case, not necessarily change the fluid on something because we think there might be fixing a problem, because that typically is not going to fix a problem. And honestly, I'd like to know what had happened before I go down that road, just so we don't inadvertently create more problems. So maintenance wise, yes, the fluid should be, if accessible, should be serviced. The second thing, though, once again, I would really want to drive it, collect some data from the computer system, see if there's anything that kind of raises a flag before we go down that road of the fluid service.
Nick, would you think or say that most, maybe proper, many newer cars, you have that no need for service? Like you said, you could access it if you had to, a professional. But is that kind of typical for newer cars?
Well, it's evolved. And as we all know, it used to be that you pulled the pan, changed the filter, and kind of changed out the whole system there. Then we did a lot of flushes. And I would say the most common transmission service now would be like a typical drain and fill, where you will drain the fluid out. It's not all the fluid that's getting changed, though. Keep in mind, there's a torque converter and a valve body, and there's a lot of areas for that fluid to hide. But if you look at the maintenance schedules we always preach, you'll see every so often they'll talk about a drain and fill, which, you know, a few of the quarts will get exchanged. And that service seems to work. You know, we've been doing that on a lot of vehicles for a lot of years and haven't had any big issues. So follow the owner's manual, maintenance schedule, and hopefully they'll keep your car running for a long time.
Absolutely. Call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you might have at 651-461-9226. Here's a 2015 Subaru Legacy. Cannot control the passenger side window from the driver's side.
Well, if it works from the passenger side, we know that the window motor is good. We know that the wiring in that passenger door is good, which leads us to the question, is there a problem with wiring? A lot of times, not as much as we used to see, but we used to see we get an actual break in the wiring because we open and close the driver's door the most of all the doors. And with that exercising of the wiring, sometimes it can become brittle and break. Or the other possibility is that the actual switch in the driver's door, that part that controls the passenger window, has gone faulty. Once again, we use everything in the driver's door much more than the other doors. So I would probably have somebody, you know, once again, get the wiring schematic out, do some simple testing like we know it works, check the wiring in the driver's door jam, maybe pull that panel off to access the switch, do some pin tests in there and try to determine where the break is.
You see that a lot at Lloyd's as far as windows not working or broken wires like that?
What's funny is, you know, of course, I don't want to talk about winter too much because I want to enjoy the summer.
Yes.
But what happens is come that early winter when we have the first couple freezes, then people try to put their windows down and it doesn't work. So they keep hitting the button and all you're really doing is operating the motor to a frozen window. Then when things warm up, we'll see from time to time where the window will just fall. Well, because there was damage caused from the motor twisting and putting pressure on that regulator. And then when it thaws out, the window falls down because the regulator is no longer attached. So if the windows don't work, don't keep trying because you're not necessarily going to fix it. If anything, you might make a bigger problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for weather. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. This is News Talk A3O. WCCO, stay with us. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul and Grand Avenue. Nick, as usual, we have texters and such limited time. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Here is another one. This is a 2004 Silverado pickup. The air conditioner fan blows hot air once in a while. I turn the vehicle off, restart it, and it blows cold. What could be causing this?
You know, First thing I would make sure is that when it's blowing hot, is the AC compressor still operating? You know, there might be a low charge or some sort of protection there with that, that maybe the pressure is getting too high or too low, or the compressor is shutting off. So you shut the vehicle off, things kind of stabilize, restart the vehicle, you turn the air conditioning back on, and it's operating again because you've kind of reset that, that fault that happened. So next time it's running, you notice it's blowing hot air, maybe poke, you know, stick your head under the hood for a moment, see if the compressor is actually operating. And that'd be, I guess, my first place to start. If it's not operating, then you probably have to bring it in. They can check for level of charge and do some testing to the compressor itself.
Okay, very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Virgil calling in from Bird Island this morning. Virgil, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I've got two questions, actually, gentlemen. The first one is I have a 2016 Chevy Silverado LTZ. Broken headlight on the driver's side a few months ago. It's gotten moisture in it. All of a sudden, the blinker doesn't work. All the rest of the lights work, but the blinker no longer works. So I know that there's an issue. My question is, what happened is the other night there was a humming and it came around the battery. Okay. It drained my battery. And by luck, I was able to just reach and for some reason grab the connection to that headlight assembly. Because it's on the driver's side, I was able to get to it without removing anything, and the humming stopped. So there must have been a short there, or the whole light is shorting up. That's my question. What was the deal? The second is, those headlights through a Chevy dealer are like $1,700. Is there another headlight that can be replaced and not use those super expensive ones?
Wow.
So, you know, the high-intensity bulbs have a little inverter, a little module on the back of them that will create the higher voltage. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's that, if it's an LED or a halogen bulb. But if there's a short, you know, likely what you think is a short is probably a poor ground connection. So what's happened is that things are working harder to create the same result, because it can't find an easy path through the ground circuit back to the battery. So I would have somebody look at that, because you don't, if there's a humming noise, a poor connection, that can create heat, which can cause things to melt also. So I wouldn't take that too lightly. As far as price point on headlight assemblies, you can look around. You can find some aftermarket options. Some aftermarket options are just fine. Some you might even find it's the exact same part with like the part number filed off of it. Others, however, are maybe inexpensive to buy because they're not made with the same quality. And that's what worries me. You start introducing things that are not designed specifically for the vehicle to the vehicle, and you can create other problems. So I would caution you. I know it's a lot of money, but I would be very cautious before I would start using a lesser quality part in the electrical system on a vehicle.
Yeah, but some of them, boy, they are expensive. Wow. Here's a 2017 Ford F-150 that does not blow hot air. The AC works great. The truck temp is fine. The heat stopped blowing out for a few months and then suddenly worked again. And now it stopped again. What's going on?
Well, my first assumption would be something with the blender. The temp door is not operating properly. So, you know, the engine creates the heat. You know, the engine gets hot, which gets the antifreeze warmed up, and then that runs to the heater core, which is part of the HVAC system. If the door that opens and closes to allow the air past the heater core is not operating, you're not going to have any heat. So, you know, you still got a little time here, but within a couple few weeks or months, you'll be needing that heat. So I think next time you're in for service here in the next month or two, bring that up. Have them take a look to see if the blend doors are working properly.
So looking at this next question, and it's something I was doing just a few days ago on my car. This listener wants to know, any tips on pine sap removal from paint on cars? What would you use, Nick? Or maybe what do you guys use at Lloyd's?
Well, same thing. You need to be really careful when you start introducing chemicals to a paint. You don't want to damage the finish. You know, there's things out there like Goo Gone. You know, sometimes you just have to maybe use a little Dawn dish soap, depending on the severity, and gently, you know, don't get in there too aggressively with a brush because you could damage that finish and you'll see scratches all over it. So I've had luck with Goo Gone. There's some other stuff that we have around the shop that we can use in a small spot-by-spot situation. But be very cautious. You know, we've had listeners in the past made recommendations, and I'd always tell anyone, you know, read the packaging. Don't use something for what's not designed to be used, because you can create a bigger problem for yourself.
You know, and I was using the other day a couple of different things on bugs and maybe a little bit of asphalt, you know, some of that stuff that gets on the paint besides the bugs, which can be really tough. I use a cleaner wax. That seems, with a little elbow grease, that seems to work. And then I found in the garage what's it called, the Terminator. It's another liquid. It's probably the same thing as a cleaner wax, but it's a petroleum product that supposedly gets rid of it. It does a pretty good job. But like you said, you got to be careful of that clear coat. You don't want to be sanding down there. But I kind of like cleaner wax to do that.
You know, I would defer to you and our friend Dan on the wax in a vehicle, because of the two people that I know, you guys keep your vehicles the cleanest.
Well, you know, it's when I have no life. No, that's not it. That's not true. Let's say, Nick, we've got to run, but it's good. We love to do it. Dan and I both love to do it, and it's kind of fun. It looks good too. All right, we have to run. Nick, how do we find you guys there at Lloyd's if we need some help?
Yes, as always, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. That's 982 Grand Avenue. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. What do you say we'll do this again next week?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Nick, have a good week. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell and his wine chat from Haskell's here on News Talk A3OWC. And on the 17th of August, time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you might have. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's Automotive this past week? Busy as ever, I presume?
As you can imagine, very busy, and things are going good. You know, we're in a nice flow of summer business, and you know, people starting to ask and make appointments for the next, you know, kids going back to school and having the cars checked out before they do leave. And as you know, the fair time's coming up in a week or two here. So things are still rolling, but they'll be winding to a different direction pretty soon.
Yeah, the fair starts Thursday, Nick. Holy mackerel. We're going to be chatting to you from the fair, as we always do as well. Is there a busier time? I mean, forget winter and batteries, you know, sub-zero temps, or AC going wrong. Is there an ebb and flow at Lloyd's Automotive as far as the seasons go? Is there a busier time than others outside of the obvious ones?
You know, it's funny. It's changed over the years. I would say now the summer months have been the busier part of the year, where you would think historically that late fall, early winter, when we would have all the initial problems. But cars are made so much better than they were. I think it's more people are consciously thinking about the longer road trips, the more miles that are driven in the summer months. So we see a lot more pre-road trip or cabin driving, that kind of stuff. So I think we have a lot more of that seasonal stuff, which is a bigger impact on the year.
I know we get questions, Nick, about it from time to time, but there's so many, there's so many electric cars out there now. But as far as hybrids, I would imagine you and your crew there see a lot of hybrids in for repair, right? Nothing necessarily wrong with them, but just maybe usual maintenance. But a lot of hybrids, I presume.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, my opinion, the biggest growing segment of what we see. And, you know, I personally really like the technology. I think you have the best of a lot of worlds with the addition of having the hybrid to give you a longer range. You're not using as much fuel necessarily, so it kind of gets both ends of the spectrum there. And we see them all the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. There's not any big concern or worry. The longevity, I think, is equal to what we're accustomed to, so if it was my vote, that's what I would push you towards.
Sure. Well, let's open up the phone lines for our listeners. I know our time is limited here. If you have having problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, but you kind of want to know ahead of time what might be ailing, let Nick do a little diagnosis for you over the radio. Just call us or text us. Keep in mind, Nick will be with us for just about another half hour. So our time goes quickly. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have. Had a couple of them earlier this morning, interesting ones, not necessarily problems with cars, but actually with shops themselves. And I know you guys are very efficient and you want to help people as quickly as you can. You don't want to, you know, keep cars on your lot too long. How long? Question is, how long is too long for your car to be in a mechanic's without being looked at? I know that doesn't happen at Lloyd's, but in some places, how would you answer that question?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because, you know, it really depends. I would hope that someone would get at least a peek or an opinion within the day or so. You know, as you'd mentioned, we try to run very efficiently, but we even have cars that are longer than we'd like. And, you know, sometimes it might be personnel. You might have people on vacation, tools, equipment, parts availability. There's a lot of things that are sometimes out of your control that can affect the length or the too long of a time it's at the shop. But, you know, I would say if your car's been there for, in your opinion, extended period of time and no one's looked at it, I would obviously call and say, hey, what's going on? You know, here's my needs, my concerns. Hear what they have to say. Maybe you have to try someplace else. But, you know, without having that conversation, I wouldn't know what to advise you.
I never have seen that happen at Lloyd's at all, getting things done. Say, let's grab a phone call, Nick. Bob is checking in this morning from Duluth. Hi, Bob. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I sure love your program. It's more of curiosity. I'm wondering about the air intake for the defroster and heater in the winter when there's snow and ice. It looks like covering the grill that takes in the air. And I'm wondering, where does the air come from if that front grill, usually they're right underneath the windshield, but it seems like they fill full of ice and snow. So what happens?
Well, the intake is typically still that area. What you see is the baffle at the top there that's kind of protecting any debris from making it into that cowling area, but it's not sealed and perfectly tight. So even if there's a buildup of, you know, snow and ice as you described, there's still areas, even with the hood closed, there's areas under there that's allowing the air to make its way through. So, you know, you want to prevent or try to keep from too much ice and snow building up. One of the main reasons there is the wiper blades. You know, we will see that people use or try to keep from too much ice and snow building up. One of the main reasons there is the wiper blades. You know, we will see that people use their wipers to try to clear the windshield, and that's definitely not what they're designed for. You need to try to remove all of that so they have a free range of motion. When you try to use the wipers as the clearing mechanism, it can oftentimes break or damage that linkage there. So back to your question, though, that if there's snow and ice at the base of the windshield on the cowling, it's not sealed entirely, so the air will still make its way through to give the defrost and the heating for the vehicle.
Nick, thanks, Bob, for the call. Again, 651-461-9226. You can call in your question, you can text in, whichever is easier. Nick, I know we're going to break here quickly, but how often would you think is proper to change blades, to get put new blades on? I know if, you know, it's a vision thing, so it's important. But what would you say the average driver?
You know, I would say I'd like to every year, but you know, when I think about it, I'm not sure I do that. Yeah, but what's funny is when you call people and say, "Hey, we should replace your wiper blades," they'll say, "Oh no, it looks fine." And then you know, we joke about, you know, tell you what, I'll give you the passenger side one. You take it and you come back and pay double for the driver's side one because you don't realize how they slowly deteriorate, and then once you put a new set of wipers on there, that's one of those aha moments like, wow, why did I not do this the last time I was in? So keep in mind, if you're in for service, if it's been a long time since you've had your wipers replaced, you should do that. It makes a big difference when it's raining out, which we've had a lot of this year.
Absolutely. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have callers, we have texters, but I'm thinking for those folks that might need professional help from you guys at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question or need a little advice before you go in, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, maybe going for a walk or having lunch, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then always do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
It's a fun avenue. Lots of great places to enjoy lunch or coffee or whatever while you're waiting for your vehicle if you have that opportunity. We'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, call us or text as soon as you can. 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phone calls, Bob is calling in this morning from Eden Prairie. Hi, Bob. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I have a BMW 2004 645 CI, one owner. I'm not aware that I have ever changed the transmission fluid in the vehicle. When driving it the other day, I only drive it periodically in the summer. The other day while driving it, the transmission wouldn't shift. It kind of locked in a gear. And but the next time I drove it, I was able to drive it home. The next time I drove it, it worked fine. I'm wondering if the transmission fluid should be changed or what should I do?
On that vehicle, the first thing we would do is kind of access the computer system, go through the modules, see if there's any historical information stored for that glitch that happened. Some of those BMWs in that vintage had like a fill for life transmission. It'll say, actually, when you have the vehicle up in the air, it'll say do not service. There's still ways to service it. So if it's got a lot of miles, it's got a lot of years, servicing the fluid is never a bad idea. But I wouldn't, in any case, not necessarily change the fluid on something because we think there might be fixing a problem, because that typically is not going to fix a problem. And honestly, I'd like to know what had happened before I go down that road, just so we don't inadvertently create more problems. So maintenance-wise, yes, the fluid should be, if accessible, should be serviced. The second thing, though, once again, I would really want to drive it, collect some data from the computer system, see if there's anything that kind of raises a flag before we go down that road of the fluid service.
Nick, would you think or say that most, maybe proper, many newer cars, you have that no need for service? Like you said, you could access it if you had to, a professional. But is that kind of typical for newer cars?
Well, it's evolved. And as we all know, it used to be that you pulled the pan, changed the filter, and kind of changed out the whole system there. Then we did a lot of flushes. And I would say the most common transmission service now would be like a typical drain and fill where you will drain the fluid out. It's not all the fluid that's getting changed, though. Keep in mind, there's a torque converter and a valve body, and there's a lot of areas for that fluid to hide. But if you look at the maintenance schedules we always preach, you'll see every so often they'll talk about a drain and fill, which, you know, a few of the quarts will get exchanged. And that service seems to work. You know, we've been doing that on a lot of vehicles for a lot of years and haven't had any big issues. So follow the owner's manual, maintenance schedule, and hopefully they'll keep your car running for a long time.
Absolutely. Call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you might have at 651-461-9226. Here's a 2015 Subaru Legacy. Cannot control the passenger side window from the driver's side.
Well, if it works from the passenger side, we know that the window motor is good. We know that the wiring in that passenger door is good, which leads us to the question, is there a problem with wiring? A lot of times, not as much as we used to see, but we used to see we get an actual break in the wiring because we open and close the driver's door the most of all the doors. And with that exercising of the wiring, sometimes it can become brittle and break. Or the other possibility is that the actual switch in the driver's door, that part that controls the passenger window, has gone faulty. Once again, we use everything in the driver's door much more than the other doors. So I would probably have somebody, you know, once again, get the wiring schematic out, do some simple testing like we know it works, check the wiring in the driver's door jamb, maybe pull that panel off to access the switch, do some pin tests in there and try to determine where the break is.
You see that a lot at Lloyd's, as far as windows not working or broken wires like that?
What's funny is, you know, of course, I don't want to talk about winter too much because I want to enjoy the summer.
Yes.
But what happens is come that early winter when we have the first couple freezes, then people try to put their windows down, and it doesn't work, so they keep hitting the button, and all you're really doing is operating the motor to a frozen window. Then when things warm up, we'll see from time to time where the window will just fall. Well, because there was damage caused from the motor twisting and putting pressure on that regulator, and then when it thaws out, the window falls down because the regulator is no longer attached. So if the windows don't work, don't keep trying because you're not necessarily going to fix it. If anything, you might make a bigger problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for weather. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. This is News Talk A3O, WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul and Grand Avenue. Nick, as usual, we have texters and such limited time. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Here is another one. This is a 2004 Silverado pickup. The air conditioner fan blows hot air once in a while. I turn the vehicle off, restart it, and it blows cold. What could be causing this?
You know, first thing I would make sure is that when it's blowing hot, is the AC compressor still operating? You know, there might be a low charge or some sort of protection there with maybe the pressure is getting too high or too low, or the compressor is shutting off. So you shut the vehicle off, things kind of stabilize, restart the vehicle, you turn the air conditioning back on, and it's operating again because you've kind of reset that fault that happened. So next time it's running, you notice it's blowing hot air, maybe stick your head under the hood for a moment, see if the compressor is actually operating. And that'd be, I guess, my first place to start. If it's not operating, then you probably have to bring it in. They can check for level of charge and do some testing to the compressor itself.
Okay, very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Virgil calling in from Bird Island this morning. Virgil, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I've got two questions, actually, gentlemen. The first one is I have a 2016 Chevy Silverado LTZ. Broken headlight on the driver's side a few months ago. It's gotten moisture in it. All of a sudden, the blinker doesn't work. All the rest of the lights work, but the blinker no longer works. So I know that there's an issue. My question is, what happened is the other night there was a humming and it came around the battery. Okay? It drained my battery. And by luck, I was able to just reach and for some reason grab the connection to that headlight assembly because it's on the drive side. I was able to get to it without removing anything and the humming stopped. So there must have been a short there or the whole light is shorting out. That's my question. What was the deal? The second is those headlights through a Chevy dealer are like $1,700. Is there another headlight that can be replaced and not use those super expensive ones?
Wow.
So, the high intensity bulbs have a little inverter, a little module on the back of them that will create the higher voltage. And I'm not sure if it's that, if it's an LED or a halogen bulb. But if there's a short, likely what you think is a short is probably a poor ground connection. So what's happened is that things are working harder to create the same result because it can't find an easy path through the ground circuit back to the battery. So I would have somebody look at that because you don't, if there's a humming noise, a poor connection, that can create heat, which can cause things to melt also. So I wouldn't take that too lightly. As far as price point on headlight assemblies, you can look around. You can find some aftermarket options. Some aftermarket options are just fine. Some you might even find it's the exact same part with, like, the part number filed off of it. Others, however, are maybe inexpensive to buy because they're not made with the same quality. And that's what worries me. You start introducing things that are not designed specifically for the vehicle to the vehicle, and you can create other problems. So I would caution you. I know it's a lot of money, but I would be very cautious before I would start using a lesser quality part in the electrical system on a vehicle.
Yeah, but some of them, boy, they are expensive. Wow. Here's a 2017 Ford F-150 that does not blow hot air. The AC works great. The truck temp is fine. The heat stopped blowing out for a few months and then suddenly worked again. And now it stopped again. What's going on?
Well, my first assumption would be something with the blender. The temp door is not operating properly. So, you know, the engine creates the heat. You know, the engine gets hot, which gets the antifreeze warmed up, and then that runs through the heater core, which is part of the HVAC system. If the door that opens and closes to allow the air past the heater core is not operating, you're not going to have any heat. So, you know, you still got a little time here, but within a couple few weeks or months, you'll be needing that heat. So I think next time you're in for service here in the next month or two, bring that up. Have them take a look to see if the blend doors are working properly.
So looking at this next question, and it's something I was doing just a few days ago on my car. This listener wants to know any tips on pine sap removal from paint on cars. What would you use, Nick? Or maybe what do you guys use at Lloyd's?
Well, same thing. You need to be really careful when you start introducing chemicals to a paint. You don't want to damage the finish. You know, there's things out there like Goo Gone. You know, sometimes you just have to maybe use a little Dawn dish soap depending on the severity, and gently, you know, don't get in there too aggressively with a brush because you could damage that finish and you'll see scratches all over it. So I've had luck with Goo Gone. There's some other stuff that we have around the shop that we can use in a small spot-by-spot situation. But be very cautious. You know, we've had listeners in the past made recommendations, and I'd always tell anyone, you know, read the packaging. Typically don't use something for what it's not designed to be used, because you can create a bigger problem for yourself.
You know what I was using the other day? A couple of different things on bugs and maybe a little bit of asphalt, you know, some of that stuff that gets on the paint besides the bugs, which can be really tough. I use a cleaner wax. That seems, with a little elbow grease, that seems to work. And then I found in the garage what's it called, the Terminator. It's another liquid. It's probably the same thing as a cleaner wax, but it's a petroleum product that supposedly gets rid of it. It does a pretty good job. But like you said, you got to be careful of that clear coat. You don't want to be sanding down there. But I kind of like cleaner wax to do that.
You know, I would defer to you and our friend Dan on the waxing of a vehicle, because of the two people that I know, you guys keep your vehicles the cleanest.
Well, you know, when I have no life. No, that's not it. That's not true. Let's say, Nick, we've got to run, but it's good. We love to do it. Dan and I both love to do it, and it's kind of fun. Looks good too. All right, we have to run. Nick, how do we find you guys there at Lloyd's if we need some help?
Yes, as always, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. That's 982 Grand Avenue. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. What do you say we'll do this again next week?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Nick, have a good week. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell and his wine chat from Haskell's here on News Talk A3OWC.